my goodness. Hallelujah. Ninja warrior princess. I like that. I think I'm gonna make me a t-shirt that say that. Ninja warrior princess that climbs on pulpits. Glory to God. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Carrie. Well, it is always such an awesome joy to be here. I come as a guest, but I feel like I'm now part of the furniture, you know, like a family member. And I feel so at home in here. And I love every one of the staff. I mean, awesome people and filled with just the love of God. And so I know all of you ladies, if it's been your first time here on campus, I know you're going to come in contact with the love of God. And whether you get a cup of coffee or you hire the information desk or go and buy something at a table, you'll come in contact with the love of God. Hallelujah. So I just want to say thank you to Jamie and to Andrew for even having this women conference. Thank you for all of you that have organized, worked so hard. I wanted also to acknowledge a very special friend of mine that came all the way from Quebec, but she's French. It's Annabelle Soudril. Would you just stand up? I know I'm embarrassing her. She looks young and she looks like, but she's actually one of the co-founder of the Christian TV station that reaches all over the French-speaking world. And I'm telling you, sometimes I go in the bush in Africa somewhere, and there are people that are going, Audrey Mack, and I'm like, who in the bush is it? Because of that Christian TV station, and Andrew is actually on that Christian TV station, and he speaks French on that station. So I'm so thrilled that I invited Annabelle to come to this conference, man, for quite a few times, but this year she decided to come. Maybe because her daughter is in first year Caris also, just maybe because. Hallelujah. So before I start, I have a bunch of stuff to give. If you could put that little thing, you know, that I sent you about the product. So on this conference, I am not going to sell my product. I'm going to give it to you. But like you said, one per family, because I don't think I brought enough for every one of you. So, but here it is. There is an album. It's She Is, She's Loved, She's Secure, so she can be powerful. You know how us, lady, we've got to get rid of those insecurity, but we do that by understanding the love of God, and then we become some ninja warrior. And the devil is afraid. So, yes, honey, just go ahead and run. Another one is called The Path to Healing, Manifesting the Kingdom of God. It's actually how to fight, you know, the good fight of faith or the devil, kick the devil. But you have to do it from a place of peace, of righteousness, and of joy. So that just tells you how to do that. There is another one, it's called A Heart to Hear God. You know, during COVID, I got to stay home and not travel for a little bit. And God just downloaded some things into my spirit about how to have a heart that can hear what the Spirit of the Lord wants to say to you personally and for this time. And so, oh, I didn't even notice this one. I broke it. Sorry. But the content is still good. And so here it is, a heart that can hear God. Another one, it's called The Violent Take It by Force. Actually, one of the messages is something that I preached in this right here, and I climbed on the pulpit. I think that's why they changed the pulpit. Just saying, I can't climb on that one. No way. But anyway, it's about how in the spirit, you have that spiritual violence to really get your healing or really get your breakthrough in any area of your life. I was going to use you, your honey. Go ahead and give it to somebody. There is a single one. It's called Don't Act Like a Monkey. Oh, yeah, come on. Don't Act Like a Monkey. It's about really how to be loosed and free from always getting offended. Because that's a trap of the devil. So we don't want in the last day just to get, you know, a pence in the wads or whatever they say. Casting worries and fears. You know what that is about. It's really about not just saying, okay, I'm not going to have worries. I'm not going to be afraid. But how to do it. How to walk in a worry-free life. And finally, the true purpose of communion. In this message, I'm telling you what it is, if I may say so. It is really powerful. The Lord showed me things about so many, you know, legalism is told us that, you know, we've got to clean up our acts before we can take communion. It's like saying, I'm going to take a bath before I take a shower. Which makes no sense. It's at the table of communion that we can defeat all of our enemies, even addiction, even sins that we are trying to get rid of, but we don't seem to know how to. So go to the table of communion. Here it is. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, yeah, come on, sweetie. I'm just amazed about tonight, the worship. The song from, you know, everything was just in the same tone, in the same message that what the Lord's put on my heart for you tonight. And so I believe I'm in the right place at the right time. And you are in the right place at the right time. Amen. And so I really want, ladies, to open your heart because I want to talk about Jesus tonight, who is a lover. Say it loud. And in this conference where we talk about the time is now, how to tap into your purpose, into your potential, into the plan that God has for you and how to walk in it and fulfill it. We know that. And what I want to talk about tonight is how to walk into that plan. How to tap into your potential. How to fulfill the very thing for which you are on this earth for. You know, as I was hearing that song, I was just amazed. The word was just like hitting me so hard because I remember when I was 4 years old, I was in the kitchen and my neighbor was there and she asked me, she said, hey, sweetie, what do you want to do when you grow up? And out of my mouth, I said, I'm going to travel all over the world, but I'm not going to be a tourist. Where did that come from? It came from the will of God, the plan of God, the destiny of God that even before the foundation of the world, he had implanted into my little spirit. And now today, I am a manifestation of that plan because that's exactly what I'm doing, traveling all over the world, telling people about Jesus and helping people to walk into their God-given destiny. For if God has done it for me, he wants to do it for every one of us, ladies. Yeah. Hallelujah. And so that verse, we know it very well. In Jeremiah 29, you've heard it, I'm sure, 100 times, but it bears repeating tonight. In Jeremiah 29, verse 11 and 13, it says, for I know the plans that I have in mind for you, says God. Plans for well-being, not for bad things. I'm reading for the complete Jewish Bible. So that you can have a hope and a future. When you call to me and pray to me, I will listen to you. When you seek me, you will find me, provided you seek me, you seek for me wholeheartedly. That verse here, what he's saying, that God has a plan for us, but he didn't, did you notice something? It didn't tell us to seek the plan. It didn't tell us to seek for the vision. It told us to seek God. And that's what I want to talk to you about tonight. That's what Deuteronomy 4 verse 29, it says it a little different. It says, even there, if you seek God, your God, and I read from the message, if you seek God, your God, you'll be able to find him. If you're serious, looking for him with your whole heart and soul. Did you notice something that it says in both verse that you and I, to find the plan, we've got to look for God, seek God, but not half-heartedly. Not que sera, sera, but with our whole heart, with all our passion and our zeal, looking for him like there is no other thing. Yeah, I'm going to do that, sweetie. I'm the ninja warrior, whatever. What I want to say tonight, that so many Christians that I find can get so half-hearted, thinking like Jesus is like the bus boy that we can come and here he goes. I'm here to tell you that Jesus is no bus boy that just comes at our first little beating when we and whistle and here he comes. He is not a bus boy. He is a lover. And you know, as every and any lover, he loves and he wants to be pursued. You know, I noticed something in the word. Let me get a little water to the camel. You know, when I read my Bible and I look at Jesus and I look at God, I notice something, that God is anything but a bus boy. He's anything but somebody we just call when we have our own little, boop, boop, here it is, God. I found many passages. Like, for example, it starts right there, even in Exodus, when Moses, all of a sudden, sees a burning bush. And I love, listen to what it says. The angel of the Lord. And it says the angel with a big A. You know who we're talking about here? It's Jesus. He said the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Then Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. So then the Lord saw that he turned aside, and God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. I want you to notice something. It is not until Moses decided to move toward the angel of the Lord that God responded and spoke. We have another passage which I like. When, you know, Jesus was praying in the mountain and all of a sudden he noticed that, and he must have seen in the spirit, or I don't know how that happened, but it came to his attention that the disciples were on the boat roaring and were having a hard time getting to the other side. And so it says that Jesus started to walk on the water, and he says he would have passed by them. But yet they kind of call upon him and they said, is that you, Jesus? And then he came into the boat. He would have passed by them. Or there is another passage after Jesus' resurrection where there is two guys on the road of Emmaus. And all of a sudden, Jesus is walking next to them and they start talking. And those guys apparently had a long face. And Jesus said, now, why are you so, you know, dismayed? And you look, say, haven't you heard? Aren't you the only one in Jerusalem who hasn't heard the news? And so they started to talk. And then the Bible said that Jesus was planning to go, and I'm going to read the verse. Jesus indicated that he would have gone farther, but they constrained him, to abide with them. Here again, Jesus was just gonna move along, and it's not until they constrain him, they beg him to stay with them that Jesus did. It shows us something here about God's character. He loves to be pursued. He loves to be wanted. He loves to be loved. He is a lover. It always reminds me, you know, when I got married, I was 36 years old, had been a single missionary for many, many years. And then I remember God, I was spending a season where I was really seeking God and praying and worshiping and really spending my time with the Lord. And I got one word. The Lord told me Florida. That was it. So I'm like, okay, I bought a ticket, flew, went to Florida. And I got there. And two days later, I'm invited to minister, invited in Tampa. And so I go there and minister. It was a youth group. And that same day, a friend of mine was with her husband and her twins having a little get together right here at her mom. And I thought, I'll go and surprise her. Long story short, I ended up seeing my friend. And there is that man when I walked through the door that saw me, and he's like, God, what are you saying? What are you doing? And that man, somehow the Lord kind of showed him that I was, you know, his wife to be. But I was not even looking, thinking. I was on a different zone. But that guy pursued me, started to pursue me. First he called my friend and said, hey, can I would that be okay if I called her? And so I said, well, I'm here in Florida, stuck. I don't know anybody. And, you know, a good friend is okay, you know. And that guy started to pursue me. And pursue me like a dog after a bone. But here is something that happened. Here is something that happened. He says, then I moved to another city. He said, can I have your phone number? And I kind of say, well, you know, you understand. I'm like, my heart is towards God. I'm like, I'm not looking at anything. And I say, well, I don't want to give you my phone number right now. Let me wait for 1 week. I'm going to spend time with God, and I don't want to get it. So give me 1 week, and then I'll call you, give you my phone number. He's like, okay. So I went, spent a week with him. And at the end, I wanted to be true to my word. And I called him, left him my phone number. Like I said, the little rascal waited 1 week to call me back. But here is something that happened in my heart. All of a sudden, it did something in my heart where all of a sudden I'm like, I don't want to let that one go. And then we know now, the rest is history. But there is a principle there that a lover, you see, Jesus, and I like my husband did that. He wasn't like, here I am, waiting for me, the diva, to go, here I go. The moment I felt in my heart that I was like, that man is serious, but I'm about to lose him. Then it did something in my heart where all of a sudden I got serious about it. And I think that sometime we can find ourselves in this type of situation with the Lord. You know, we can get kind of complacent with God or our relationship with the Lord. Sometimes we can even take him for granted. Sometimes we can get a little lazy and a kind of relax in our relationship and lose that passion, lose that fire. You know, I was talking with Elizabeth, and by the way, if I may say something, God is always keeping the best for the dessert for last. You're going to get the grand finale with Miss Elizabeth and Carrie. I'm just the appetizer. But I was talking to Elizabeth about how I had a dream. And in that dream, I saw myself dressed with a beautiful white gown. And I knew in my dream I was a bride, and it was embroidered with gold. And I'm standing there, and I know I'm like in a wedding. But then all of a sudden, I see another bride walk by, but she's wearing brown. And she starts talking out loud, and the words coming out of her mouth is like, I can tell, and I'm in my dream, and here is something. Next to me was a young woman that I know whose name is Abigail. And the word, the name Abigail means God is pleased. And in my dream, she's standing next to me, and I see that other bride wearing brown. And I look at her, and I'm like, what is going on? And then she starts talking out of her mouth, is speaking words, and I knew that was double standard. I knew she was a hypocrite. I knew she said things she didn't mean, and she didn't mean what she said, and then I woke up. And then I felt the Lord was telling me, Jesus is coming back soon. As soon, I don't know. He could be coming tonight. Would you wait until I'm done with the service? Or he could be coming in a year, or in 10 years, in 30 years, I don't know. But I know. I feel all around, and I knew Elizabeth and I were talking how there is like a simmering, like God is doing something. He's speaking the same message, and he's telling his bride to get ready, for his bride to come to that place of love, of passion, of zeal, of fire on the inside. There is no time to be lukewarm. There is no time to do that double standard. There is no time to play around, to pursue little pleasures. And no, it's a time to pursue God with all of our heart. Oh, hallelujah. I think I'm going to take my necklace out. Oh, shut up. There is a, you know, it's interesting. There is a passage in the book of the Song of Solomon. I got to spend a few days in France between meetings, and I just shut myself with the Lord. I had rented a little Airbnb, shut myself, didn't want to have any appointment meetings or see anybody. It was just like, and God told me, say, go to the Song of Solomon, the Song of Love. And I saw something there. There is a passage, you know, in chapter 5, verse 2 through 6, where he actually said that the bridegroom came to the door, knocking at the door, saying, hey, I want to be with you. I want to spend time with you. I want to love on you. I want to have a love story with you. But she was in bed, and I paraphrase, and she said, well, how come I already took my shower? I'm already in my jammy. I'm kind of comfy. I don't want to go to the door. And then it says that the bridegroom came on knocking at the door, and then he put his hand through the latch of the door. And then her heart perked up. What is it that she saw that caught her attention? Could it be the hole in his hands? Saying, hey, my lover, I died for you. I gave my life for you. I poured my blood for you. Would you wake up? Would you get out of your comfort zone? Would you just give me time and love and attention? And then finally, she got back to her senses, opened the door. He was gone. And then it started something in her heart where she went to pursue him. And to go after him and to find him. I'm here to say that there is some time when we find ourselves in those moments where we kind of got relaxed with God, where we kind of, you know, stayed in our comfort zone, and we kind of lost our first love. And all of a sudden we lose that connection with the lover of our soul. It can be a moment where just like that, you've got to remember, hey, there is a hole in his hands. He died for me. He shed his blood. He gave everything for me. I'm going to get up, and I'm going to. And you know, when we go through those times, some time of desert, where we feel like we lost that connection of love with God, then it's a good opportunity to get back up and pursue. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Sometime. Sometime we'll find ourselves, even by divine design, in those places of wilderness. To do what? To all of a sudden get rid of some of the stuff. Expose some of the motives, the desires, the stuff of our heart, where it's just us and us. And we can see what's really on the inside. Why? Because God is wanting you to wake up, and he wants to draw you to himself, to go deeper, to go higher, to go deeper. We can never be in a place where we just like coasting, comfortable. No, we have got to pursue God. And you remember the first verse that I read? It's like when we pursue God and we love God and just want God to love him and him love us, this is where we find our destiny. This is where we discover who we really are and why we were born here on earth. It is in him that you find yourself, nowhere else. So I'm here to tell you tonight, yes, you have a destiny tailored made just for you, but you're not gonna find it anywhere but just in Christ, in your lover, the lover of your soul. It's the only place that you can ever find yourself. Nowhere else. I remember. Have you, it's a moment sometime where we feel that dissatisfaction. Have you ever felt dissatisfied when you like and you're like, what is that? I feel like I don't fit. I feel dissatisfied. That's what I'm talking about. It's a call to pursue. It's a call to push. It's a call to seek God more, like no one else. And when you do that, you know, it's like God in his love is pushing us out of the nest. And I remember, you know, I was born and raised in the south of France. And anytime we wanted to go to Italy, we had to get on a train. And on that train, it would go, they would dig tunnels through the mountains. And sometimes you would just ride in the train through this tunnel. And it would get so dark. But you know something I found out during those time of complete darkness where you don't feel like I cannot see, I cannot hear, I don't know where I am, I don't know what's happening. Something was happening. Your eyes just get really big. Why? Looking for light, looking for light. And at the end of the tunnel, what would happen? The light would just blind you. That's what God wants to do with us. He wants us to pursue him, to go like in that tunnel. You know what I'm saying? To go and look for him, pursue him like a lover. He is a lover. And to do that, in order to do that, we need the Holy Spirit. I would not assume that I can know Jesus or even know how to love Jesus without the Holy Spirit. That is why Jesus, he told us in John 16, verse 13 and 14, he said, when the Spirit of truth come, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own initiative, but will say only what he hears. He will show you things to come. And listen to this. He will glorify me because he will receive from what is mine and declare it to you. The number one purpose of the Holy Spirit is to glorify and reveal Jesus to us, our husband, our lover, to ignite a fire and a passion and a zeal and a love in our heart for the lover of our soul, for Jesus. The Holy Spirit wants to do this in every one of us. And you might think, well, I kind of love Jesus. I've got passion, I've got zeal. I'm here to tell you there is more. There is more. The moment you feel I'm satisfied, it's all good, then you're in a dangerous place. Because we are called to go from faith to faith, from glory to glory. And it's in that place of complete pursuing God with all of our affection that we are not half-hearted. Remember, I read that if you seek me with all of your heart, if you seek me wholeheartedly, it means not half-hearted, not here and there, not when it's convenient, not when it's easy. No, it will require sometimes some sacrifices. It will require some dying of the flesh. It will require putting your will, your ambition, your ways out there on the altar at the cross. Amen. So you can resurrect much more in love with Jesus. And that's where we want, and that is where we find our purpose, and we find out who we are and what God has called us to do. Every one of you, lady, have a destiny like I had. I'm going to travel all over the world when I grow up. Am I going to be a tourist? And here I am, a missionary. Little did I know. And I don't know what your destiny is or looks like. Doesn't matter how old you are, what nationality, where you live. It doesn't matter what your situation. God is the God of hope. God is the God of the impossibility. God is the God of breakthrough. If you pursue him and you find yourself in him, that is the number one thing that we are called to do, to fall in love with him. And I love that 1 Corinthians. It's one of my favorite verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 9 through 12, he says, eye has not seen, nor ear has heard, nor has entered into the heart of man the thing which God has prepared for those who love him. Hallelujah. However, God has revealed these things. How? Through the Spirit. For the Spirit, and I read from the Complete Jewish Bible. I like that version. He said, for the Spirit probes all things, even the most profound depth of God. For who knows the inner working of a person except the person's own spirit inside him? So too, no one knows the inner workings of God except God's Spirit. Now, we have not received the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit of God, that we might understand, see, know, receive all the things that God has freely given to us by the Spirit. And I'd like to suggest to you that this is the reason why the Father in his love, amen, has given us the Holy Spirit, and he's given us a prayer language. Praying in another tongue. Some of you here tonight, you're like, what is she talking about? There is a prayer language that we receive when we are baptized in the Holy Spirit. It's a language that our mind cannot understand, but it is God through our own voice and through our spirit that is praying his perfect will. He's praying through our spirit and through our mouth, his will, his ways, his plan. You know, there is a verse in Proverbs 20, verse 5. It says, the plan of God, the counsel and purposes of God are like deep waters, but the man of understanding will dig it out. How can you and I dig out the plan, the purpose, the destiny that has been in our spirit even before we were born? How? By praying in another tongue. We can allow God to pray through our mouth what he wants us to ask. You know, in James, he says, you have not because you ask not. And by praying in another tongue, we are giving God the opportunity for us to pray his will, his destiny, his plan for our very life. And that's what 1 Corinthians 14, verse 2, he says, for when somebody prays in another tongue, he does not pray to men, but to God. Howbeit, in the Spirit, he prays out mysteries. And that word mysteries is hidden truth, secret things. That plan, that destiny, that vision, what you were created for is right there, a blueprint in your spirit. But like we just read in 1 Corinthians 2, your mind cannot know, your eyes cannot see, not even your heart can really tap into that. But this thing can be revealed to us by the Spirit. And you know, my friends, after you spend time loving on God, loving on Jesus, and allowing the Holy Spirit to minister to you and reveal Jesus to you and cause you to fall even more in love with Jesus, He will allow you to pray and open a path in your destiny. Open a path so you can walk it out. Not even pursuing the vision, not even pursuing the plan, not even pursuing what you were created for, just pursuing God. But as you pray in the Spirit, God is opening the path and you just walk it out, having fun and loving Jesus. I remember I was leading a team to go into the jungles in, was it Honduras or Guatemala? It was one of those two. But we were going to go right at the center of the jungle. And of course, you know, I kind of had that romantic idea, you know, Indiana Jones. I saw myself, you know, I had that picture. I thinking, you know, I had a team of people that I was training. And I thought we were all going to have, you know, the leather hat, the machete. And we're going to go, ka-cha, 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 and then just walk through to go to the jungle to just talk to a tribe that was at the very center. And then I got right there next to the, you know, at the edge of the jungle. And I noticed the path was opened. And I went, who did that? And then I looked on the side, there was a bulldozer. And there the Lord spoke to me and He said, you see, when you pursue me and you start spending time with me and you start praying in the Spirit, praying those mysteries, praying those secret things, praying the purpose and plan that is in your spirit, you are pulling it out, you are praying it out, and then you are walking it out. And you're like, man, it's kind of easy. That's called grace. It's called entering into the rest instead of striving, trying, pushing. And all of that because we love Jesus and pursue Him. Not the plan, not the vision, not the pleasures. Oh, Jesus is our pleasure, our lover. And we prepare ourselves for Him, a bride. With that spot, with that wrinkle, a bride that is so in love with Him, a bride that will say, that will open the door as soon as He knocks on the door. I know I love, there was a woman in the Bible, her name was Hannah. She was a woman with a reputation that she couldn't have a child. She couldn't birth a child. And you know what Hannah did? She didn't complain. She didn't moan and groan. You know what she did? She went and pursued God. We find in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 5 through 22, that she was so dissatisfied. She was so grieved because she could not birth what was on the inside of her. That she just went to the temple and she just went, I mean, latched on. Wouldn't give up. She even looked like a drunk. But she didn't care. She pressed in and she just prayed to get a hold of God. And Eli looked at her and said, woman, how are you drunk? She said, I am not drunk, sir. I am just grieved in my heart. And I'm just contending for God and for the promise of God to have a child. And Eli simply gave her a word. Simple word. He said, woman, just leave this place. Your request or your will or your wish or your desire has been granted. It's done. And you see, she left that place not going, I don't see anything. I don't feel anything. Now the Bible says she got up, had a smile on her face and said, today is a new day. Today something happened. Today I will see the fulfillment of that desire that is right there on the inside of me that I've not been able to birth. And you know something that was interesting? When she knew, and that's called faith. You receive a promise, you receive a word from God. All of a sudden, because you pursue God, you heal, you find out, you discover, and then you get back up thinking, thank you, Lord. Now I trust you. Now I know it shall be done according to your word. But you know what she did when she gave birth to Samuel? She didn't go everywhere. Look at my dad, look at my... She kept him. She protected him. She kept it aside. Sometimes the most precious things of our call, our purpose, our destiny, sometimes we've got to protect it. We've got to keep it until it's mature, until it's strong. We don't broadcast it. Sometimes we've got to nurture it and protect it. And then finally, when she got that promise, I love that. She prophesied. She couldn't help but speak out. And you know what she prophesied? Oh, hallelujah. She prophesied that she would bear 7 children. Do you know how many she had? 6. You're like, she made a mistake. No, no, no. The 7th was she was prophesying the Messiah. That from her womb, from her promise, from her prayer, her prayers, her destiny, her passion was going beyond her. It touched the all world, all generation. And you see, the purpose of God in your womb goes far beyond just you. And you're going to have to start seeing that what God has created you to be and you to do, it's not just all about you. There are people that will be touched, people that will be changed, people interconnected. So how important it is for you ladies, in order to fulfill that for which you were born, to tap into your potential, to discover, you're going to have to pursue God like never before. Put some things aside. Get some stuff out of your list of to-dos. Close the door. Seek Him. Press Him until you so fall in love with Him that you can't help you. You don't want to get out of the room. And then right in that place of worship, in that place of prayer, you're going to birth out something. You're going to see something. You're going to get a new meaning to your life. A meaning, a purpose, a plan that will go beyond you. So tonight, I want to send an invitation. If you're here tonight and you have not been filled with the Holy Spirit and you cannot pray in tongues, tonight is your opportunity. You've got women of power, women, ninja warrior, bah! You need to have the power. You cannot be like a soldier going to war without a gun. You need the power. You need the Holy Spirit. That is the one that will help you in that relationship with Jesus. The one that will cause you to fall in love with Him. The one that will reveal Jesus to you. To reveal Him so much that you'll fall in love with Him. By revelation, by the power. That's why every time Paul closed his letters, he said, may the love of the Father, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the communion of the Holy Spirit. Now, love in French, it actually says the communication of the Holy Spirit. He's the one who speaks to us. He's the one that reveals Jesus. He's the one who glorifies Jesus. All of His desire is for us to love, fall in love with Jesus even more. That's His number one purpose. So if you hear, ladies, tonight, whether you're in the balcony, whether you are there watching us live stream, you know, there is no distance in the Spirit. You can be right here in your office. You could be right in your car. It has happened before. You can be in your jammies, in your bed, looking at your laptop. Wherever you are, you can get filled with the Holy Spirit. Right here, right now, tonight. But if you are in this room, I want to invite you. We're not going to be nonchalant, que sera, sera. I ask you to stand up and run to the front. I don't mean walk. I mean run to the front. We don't have a whole lot of time. If you want the baptism in the Holy Spirit and being able to speak in another tongues, to birth and pray out the plan and purpose of God for your life, I want you to come forward. Do a nice straight line right here. Thank you, ladies. You ladies look beautiful. They keep coming. Come on down from the balcony. Don't jump. I know you're excited. I know you're in love, but don't jump. Hallelujah. Just come to the side. We'll make a nice, beautiful, straight line. You know, receiving the Holy Spirit, are you praying for her or are you wanting to receive? You come for her? Okay. They keep coming. Glory to God. I'm going to ask you, squeeze a little bit to make some room. Go right over here. Yeah. Squeeze towards the center. You are beautiful. You coming for the Holy Spirit, sweetheart? Go right here. Do one step forward. Here you go. Thank you, Jesus. It is so thrilling. You know, right now, the angels in heaven are doing little backflip. They're twirling around, backflip, excited. Receiving the Holy Spirit, they keep coming. Come on and over. Glory, glory. It's the most powerful thing besides receiving salvation. When you got born again, the Holy Spirit recreated you on the inside in the image of God. You were recreated by the Holy Spirit. And the Father, Son, Holy Spirit came right here on the inside. You have a new nature. I haven't even prayed yet and she got up. You ninja warrior. It's okay. But when you receive you are baptized in the Holy Spirit by Jesus Christ. You are now endued with power. You receive the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, Jesus was the Son of God, but he never did anything on earth before he received the baptism in the Holy Spirit. He went to the River Jordan, and right there, he was endued with power. Right there, he received the power of the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says that Jesus was anointed with the Holy Spirit and power, and then he went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. It is the anointing of the Holy Spirit that empowered him and enabled him to do what he did. And that same anointing wants to fill you. So you can get out of here filled with power. And you know, the first thing that for me, when I received the Holy Spirit, is it was like I got a new, brand new Bible. I read the Bible and all of a sudden I could read it, understand it. It was revealing to me who Jesus was, to cause me to fall in love and understand why I was in love with Jesus. So, being filled with the Holy Spirit is always 100% the will of God for every one of you ladies. In Luke 11:13, Jesus was talking to the disciples and he says, if you fathers, you know, carnal fathers, you know how to give good things to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So I have three questions to ask you. Number one, is God your Father? Yes. That means you are born again. Jesus is your Savior. Yes. You've given your life to Him, and you have that certainty, that assurance inside of you that if you were to die today, you'd go to heaven with God. If it is you, let me say it this way. If you don't have that assurance, if you don't know if Jesus is your Savior and God is your Father, I want you to raise your hand. If you're like, I'm not sure, Audrey. Raise your hand if you don't know if you are born again. Yes, sweetheart. Anybody else? Glory to God. Well, you know we're going to settle that right here, right now. Because before you can receive the Holy Spirit, you've got to receive Jesus. So we're going to pray very easy, nothing major. Would you want Jesus? Do you believe He's the Son of God? That He died for your sin? That He rose from the dead? Are you willing to say, I want to change my life? I don't want a life of sin. I want a life with Jesus. Yes? Do you repent from that life of sin? Are you willing and ready to receive Him? Just repeat. Give me your hand. Look at me in the eye, sweetheart. Repeat after me. Father God, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. He died for my sin. But He rose from the dead to give me a brand new heart. So today, I repent of a life of sin. But I give You my life. And I thank You for giving me a new heart. And I accept You. I want to know You. I want to love You. So thank You, Jesus. Amen. Hold on just a sec. Come here. Hold on. Hold on. Wait, wait, wait. You see how excited they are? Ladies, sisters in Christ, I have the greatest pleasure to introduce you to a new sister. Hallelujah. Now, you're ready. You're ready. You see, your fridge got all cleaned up. Now God is getting ready to fill it up with all kind of good stuff. So here it is. God is your Father. Number two, do you have a desire for more of God?
Yes.
Is there a thirst, a hunger in your heart to go further with God?
Yes.
That was weak. Number three, we simply are going to ask. It's just as simple as that. I will help, Jessica, I'll help this precious young woman with a simple prayer. We're going to pray a simple prayer to ask Jesus to fill you with the Holy Spirit. A prayer you will repeat after me little by little. You see, very simple. But here is the key. After we prayed, Jesus said, anyone that knocks, it opens. Anyone who seeks, find. Anyone who asks, receives. So you see, we have that assurance that the moment you ask God to fill you with the Holy Spirit, you receive it. And you've got to know that. And you've got to believe that. It's just as simple as that. But then, once you received, something's going to happen. You're going to have like a sense, a desire, almost like a bubbling over. Or you're going to want to speak something. The Bible says in Acts chapter 2, He said they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and they all began to speak with another tongues. So the key right here, you believe you receive because you ask. And then like the disciple, you open your mouth and you start speaking. You know, Jesus, when he talked about faith, he says we have to have faith like a child. A child is very simple. Have you ever seen a child? A child can hear mom and dad having a conversation, they're talking, and that little child wants to talk, right? What does he do? He just opens his mouth and he starts speaking, and it sounds like ba ba da da ga ba ba ba. But as far as he's concerned, he starts to talk. And as he starts to talk, little by little, his words are starting to take shape. And that's exactly what you and I, how we start. We believe, we ask. We believe, we receive, because it's the will of the Father. And then we just yield to the Holy Spirit. We cooperate with the Holy Spirit. We just open our mouth and we start making sounds, making words. You will not understand them because they will not come through your head. They'll just go from your spirit to your mouth. It's not going to go there. So don't try to think, to reason, or to understand. Sometimes it's good to shut down the... Are you guys understanding? You see, now, if you keep your mouth shut and you go... the Holy Spirit is not going to be able to help you. He's going to be like, if only she'd open her mouth and start moving her lips and her tongue, then I would give her the ability. You see, it's not him who's going to talk. It's you. He'll just help you, give you language. Don't talk in French, in English, in Spanish, in your mother tongue. No, you're going to have to speak in another tongue. It'll make no sense, but it's a good thing, because it will be the Holy Spirit through your spirit praying. Are you ladies ready? Yes. Yes. Lily's like, I am ready. Yes. I'm going to ask you to close your eyes. I'm going to ask you to let go of your friend. Just let her loose. If you just came here to help, I'm going to ask you to take one step behind. If you're here to receive, great. If you're here to pray for somebody else, just take one step. You close your eyes, and while you close your eyes, I want you to use the eyes of your heart, your imagination, to see Jesus standing right in front of you, because he's the one who will baptize you. And I'd like you maybe to, like this precious lady, open your hands, ready to receive the gift. Just be free. Yield. Surrender. I surrender all. Repeat after me. Lord Jesus, fill me now with the Holy Spirit and power. I believe, because I ask, I receive right now. I will open my mouth and speak with new tongues, because Holy Spirit will give me this ability. So I thank you, Jesus. I yield myself to you. Fill me now. I am the temple of the Holy Spirit. I will speak with new tongues right now, right here. So thank you, Lord. Be filled now with the Holy Spirit. Oria Mahashande, start opening your mouth. Pariato kone meshte kire, open your mouth and speak in tongues. Ori isha tandele katoro, isha kabre katori, kindale boshe, kabe jomo hoshare, kori atone me kachare, ki ashoro ro koshe. Open your mouth, brashi ki chandoro, o rahashe ke chiche, ki chire koro hoshande, ki chatele, open your mouth, proshi ki chichano hosoro, ki atonde, that's it, speak, go ahead, speak. Broso tondele. Continue. Prose katarehe shande.
Kitabre. Open my mouth and speak in tongues.
Shande toroho shande. Field. Open your mouth. Move your mouth. Proshi ki chandele kaste.
Shekita la shakate. Shekita la bashek.
Ta ta ta. Malala chamala machata. Ashalama ta ta ta.
Keto robo ho shande. Kito roho shiki chande, karaha sharabare, korihi shiki chande, kicho prosto. Speak in tongues. Go ahead, everybody. Open your mouth. Prosi kichonde, kicheta kase ketare, hikandone, kichato roho sande. Kicho praste.
God, no, show no, no, Josh, go, God.
Kiato,
Nakasate, Nakapanoko, Tonigasa Santas.
Kita rehe shande, Kicha toro shande, Kicha tale, Kicha toro. Speak in tongues, all of you. Koriahana maha shandele, Kido roho shiki chande. Field. Korea has field in Jesus' name. Just yield to it. Open your mouth. Start speaking. Proshi ki chando. With all of your heart, let it out. Karia shonde.
Hallo roshi kriatisi.
Kito rohonde de kichara. Korayaha sheke chande. Start speaking. Proti kashtede. Open your mouth. Move your tongue. Prasi ki shandele. Ki yoto brastere, ki anolendare, ki chiatoro, kondilika shtoro kocide. Field, prosi ki chando loho shari. Speak.
Ashivala banamene, ashivala banamene,
ashivala
banamene,
veni atondo reka dele. Ki shande, zapare, ki shande le, ha 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 ha, hi ya ha, nele ka roho she, ki cha toro, ki cho loho shande, let go, lambare ka cho brostoro, ombari, start speaking, pare ke chere, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, filled. Braso toto ne me katabre kachande. Start speaking. Pro kishi kandolo bora bayatande. Kidere batoro boshere bindare. Go ahead. Pra kia tonde le katoro boshere. Fita toro boho shandere de kichide. That's it. Start speaking in tongues. Go ahead. Pro shinga le chale. Kashande le katoro. Kiyo shonde le kichida reshe. Katoro
undare kariyabatore.
With all your heart, speak. Go ahead. Brashikinde lehe shoru. Go ahead. Let it out. Prosikishikatere. Out loud. I can hear you. I want to hear you. Keria soro boho shinde. Yield to it. Don't think. Just open your mouth and just let it out in the name of Jesus. You cannot speak in tongue with your mouth shut. You've got to open your mouth, sweetheart. Be filled in the name of Jesus. Look at me. I will be filled. I call right now that spirit of timidity. I curse it in Jesus' name. I say, loose her, you foul spirit of timidity. Loose her. Be filled right now in Jesus' name. Porikit. Continue, everybody. Don't stop.
Shora mara kariyara. Shora.
chi do proshettare berede, chi ci chando roho bashede, chi ci cha. You cannot speak in tongue with your mouth shut. You're going to have, that's one step of faith where you believe, you believe, you receive, then you start speaking. Continue to pray. Go ahead. All of you ladies. Oh, raha chi ki shandere. I'm going to ask you to stop. Some of you don't want to stop, I understand. Start again. Come on, pick it up. Start praying in tongues again. Honda ria katele beria storio tonde keria to ichi karoho shada dandele kere idia broshororo kondere. Stop. Why did I do that? I'm trying to make a point. I want to show you that it is not Holy Spirit taking control of you. He just fills you. You're still free. But you have to choose from now on where to pray, when to pray, how long to pray. He's not going to force you. He's not going to push you. He's not going to do anything. No, he filled you with his power. Now he gave you that spiritual language. Some of you had a few words, others a full language. But the importance is you choose to pray in another tongue as often as possible. Because when you do that, it's the key to a full life. It's a key to tap in the power of God, a key to know Jesus better, a key to strengthen you, a key to tap into the comfort of the Holy Spirit, a key to have revelation of the Word of God, a key to the kingdom of God. The Holy Spirit is a key player. So congratulations, all of you ladies. Congratulations. I don't know, Carrie, if there is a little book or anything we give them. You see this beautiful young lady, Shannon? She has a little book she's going to give you to explain to you exactly what happened tonight and how to keep praying in tongues and why praying in tongues. It's gonna make you, like Miss Carrie said, a ninja warrior princess. Amen. God bless you, ladies. God bless you.